This WBEZ podcast is supported by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in up to 40 currencies with only a few simple taps. Download the Wise app today or visit wise.com. Terms and conditions apply. Be smart. Get Wise.
Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. Leaders from Chicago's Chinese and Latino immigrant community say they feel anxious about today's Supreme Court oral arguments on President Trump's executive order about birthright citizenship. They say many new parents who lack legal permanent residency or citizenship are worried what this could mean for their children. They also say denying citizenship to certain children will create an underclass of stateless people who don't have access to key services like health care. The court is expected to issue its final decision in this case this summer. A Chicago alderperson who is behind a much-debated proposal for a stricter teen curfew is back at the bargaining table after a wave of warm weather prompted so-called teen takeovers. My colleague Mariah Wolfel reports Alder Brian Hopkins has tried and failed to pass a stricter curfew to try and stop large teen gatherings that sometimes turn violent. Progressives oppose it. They don't believe it deters teenagers. Hopkins watered down his plan to avoid a veto, but that irked conservatives.
I've got two different perspectives. The more hardcore, you know, let's lean in towards arrests, and the other, you know, having a lighter touch. I'm trying to find that elusive middle ground here.
Hopkins says his latest proposal would only codify existing policy. It allows police to take teens into custody until their parents pick them up, and that's even before Chicago's 10 p.m. curfew. A new supportive living community for adults who have disabilities is now open in South Suburban Alsip. My colleague Alex Degman reports the Hamlin Avenue Apartments is a 25-unit permanent supportive housing complex. It's on Hamlin at 120th Street, and it's managed by Sertoma Star Services. That group runs similar buildings in Homewood and Orland Park. Residents live independently while they get access to job training, counseling, and help with life skills. County Board President Tony Preckwinkle says the apartments are close to public transportation, parks, and grocery stores.
When we ensure that our most vulnerable residents have access to safe, stable housing and the support they need to succeed, we strengthen not only individual lives, but the fabric of our entire community.
Cook County spent $1.7 million to help build that complex. And some fun animal stories. 10 African painted dog pups are now calling the Brookfield Zoo home. My colleague Araceli Gomez-Aldana took a break to go see the puppies make their big debut at the zoo.
There are 5 female and 5 male African painted dogs in the litter. They were born in November to first-time mom Roanne, who was also born at Brookfield Zoo. The pups played in their outdoor habitat for the first time Tuesday. They kind of sound like birds.
Very exciting for us to get to see them explore the outside world. They're going to be seeing a whole bunch of new things and getting a whole bunch of new experiences.
Raquel Artisana is with Brookfield Zoo. She says painted dogs can have up to 20 pups in a litter.
Usually, and for first-time moms, somewhere around 7-8 is more common. We were surprised when we had 10.
The zoo says the animal is one of Africa's most endangered predators. Araceli Gomez-Aldana, WBEC News.
And just a note, if you have a ticket to Thursday's White Sox home opener, do not go to the ballpark. That game has been postponed because Thursday is going to be rainy. Your ticket, though, it's good for Friday. Game time is 1:10 p.m. You're listening to The Rundown. In just a couple years, Macquelin King has gone from being an elementary school principal in Chicago Public Schools to the district's interim CEO. Now she has the permanent position. My colleague Sarah Karp sat down with King in her office to talk about some big challenges she will be confronting and how her experience at Chicago Public Schools will inform that work.
Member DeBerry.
Aye.
On Monday, the school board approved King as a CEO with a near unanimous vote. As interim leader, folks had gotten to know King as a homegrown talent who spent 15 years as a CPS principal. But her connection to the school district runs deep. She did all her schooling in CPS and started her higher education at a city college.
I went to UIC as a pre-pharmacy major until I fell in love with teaching through a volunteering event. And all of my grad degrees are at National Lewis because I was a young mom I have two boys, so I've navigated the challenge of selective enrollment schools. One child went 5400 North to Von Steuben, the other 5300 South at Kenwood. So I had that battle.
Teachers and parents I interviewed raved about King. They say she nurtured the talent of her staff and made trainings enjoyable. She even kicked off her high heels and had fun with the students.
One funny thing is I got a video of you doing a sack race.
Someone gave you video? Who was that? No, I'm just teasing.
I wanted you to talk a little bit about how you would describe your leadership style.
I really believe in shared leadership, which is why initially taking this role, I went into community, because in order for me to make decisions, I need to make informed decisions. Chicago is so big and it's so diverse. And so going into community, having roundtables, having learning sessions, that's really important to me.
As principal, King was caught in the middle of the historic 2013 school closings, in which 50 buildings were shuttered. She fought to no avail to keep her first school open and then transitioned to another school designated to take in students from a closed school. I asked her how that experience changed her perspective.
Initially, you're thinking, oh, my school is closed. And it was a bad thing. It was a horrible thing for the community. However, transitioning into a welcoming school, I began to have a better sense of Chicago Public Schools as a whole, a broader understanding of how children are educated within Chicago. It was the welcoming school where I really began to really understand how policy played a large role in what happened in the day-to-day activities at a school.
I'm wondering what you're thinking about whether you think that we do need another round of school closings, or how do you think we should address under-enrolled schools?
As a district, we have to identify what it is that we want our students to experience. What do we mean by a high-quality experience? And from there, we have to look at all of our schools and ask ourselves, is this the student experience that we want for our children?
At this point, I wanted to press King a little bit. There are about 36 schools in CPS that have fewer than 200 students. What would she say to those who look at these super low enrollment schools and question all the money that CPS spends to make sure they have enough classes and programs to make them viable places to learn?
I understand the criticism. We have fiscal responsibility. I just tend not to want to just reduce our students to the dollars and the numbers.
I also wanted to talk to King about being interim CEO this fall during the aggressive federal immigration enforcement campaign that scared some families so much they kept their children home from school. What was it like to lead through that?
It was humbling in a sense to understand just the power that a safe and trusted environment can have in the face of something so catastrophic as the federal activity.
This brings King to what she sees as the biggest challenge. Even as the school district grapples with budget deficits, declining enrollment, the need to address absenteeism and opportunity gaps, nothing is more important than keeping students safe. Everything else, she says, builds from there. Sarah Karp, WBEZ News.
Weather, chilly, a windy day, tiny bit of sunshine, a high near 40, and then tonight, showers and thunderstorms, a low in the upper 30s, windy and warmer on Thursday, plenty of showers and thunderstorms, high near 70. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Lavis. Thank you for listening.